I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-12, English Standard Version. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that, as you received from us now how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers through Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, for that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one.
Thank you, Aaron. For those of you who don't know him, Aaron Tan, who read that so beautifully this morning. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for inspiring the Apostle Paul to write these words. We trust and we believe, Lord, that he wrote them down accurately as he was inspired. We thank you, Lord, because we trust and believe that these words have been preserved for us through all these centuries. So that when we read them today, we can read the very same thoughts that you wanted to convey to the Thessalonians through this inspired writing. May this speak to us today. May we be attentive. May our hearts be soft and receptive. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gave his Holy Spirit to you. Therefore, whoever disregards this, whoever has apathy towards this, whoever is casual about this, whoever is complacent about this, whoever is disinterested about this, whoever is indifferent about this, whoever is nonchalant about this, whoever is unconcerned about this, disregards not man, but God. Disregards this. What is this that is being disregarded? Is it not a holy life? Is this not what Paul is talking about? Living a holy life, controlling your body in a way that pleases the Lord. Verses 3 to 7 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." For this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your holiness. It's a very bold statement. Holiness is God's will for your life. Many people today would walk around and say, happiness is God's will for my life. God wants me to be happy. He wants me to have a good career. He wants me to have a good family. He wants me to have good health. And He wants me to be happy. But what if God's will for you is truly what Paul says in this text, that God's will for you is not that you be happy, but that you be holy? And when we say happy and holy in the same sentence, it sounds like they could be opposites, but they're not, because you could be happy and holy, as is God. Our God is a happy God, and our God is a holy God. They don't have to be opposites. But there is a difference between God's will for you being to make you happy and God's will for you being to make you holy. The response that I often hear is, yes, we know, but we all agree it cannot be done this side of the grave. So we will do what we can, what we think is reasonable, but we know we can't achieve 100% holiness. Whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God. Not the person giving the instruction, but the authority behind that person giving the instruction. In verse 2, Paul says, he says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." These instructions came through the mouth of Paul, but these instructions were backed up by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So when we speak to you these words and when we give you these instructions, they are not just words from men, which can be disregarded, towards which you could be casual or indifferent. But these are the words of God Himself. In the beginning of this letter, Paul told them that they accepted his gospel as the word of God, not the word of man. Now, if you accept the gospel as the word of God, then this will come to you as that same authoritative word of God. What is that word of God? Well, that word of God is that you be holy. In Leviticus, in the Old Testament, God says, "I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." Be holy because I am holy. Some people hear that, "Be holy because I don't like fun. Be holy because I don't want you to enjoy yourself. Be holy because I want you to be in a straight jacket, and I want you to not think openly, and I don't want you to experience the wonders of this world and this life." That's not what he's saying. Be holy because I am holy. In Isaiah, as Jim read this morning, Isaiah has this vision, and he says, "In that year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Be holy because I am holy. You see, the God of the Old Testament is a holy God. But the God of the Old Testament is the same God that we serve under the New Covenant. Jesus made it possible for us to serve Him, but He did not take away the responsibility for us to serve. From the very beginning, we were placed in a position of service to take care of this planet and all living things on it. Not for ourselves, but for the owner. We are to do this on behalf of the Creator and the rightful owner of the world. We are to be stewards, loyal and trustworthy servants. Many people today don't want to serve. They want to be served. But brothers and sisters, as human beings, we cannot escape our DNA. Bob Dylan wrote a song about this. He says, you've got to serve somebody. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes? Indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion or you might live in a dome. You might own guns and you might even own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Amen. Let's hear it. I was thinking about the samurai warriors, whose main task and function in life was to serve their Lord. They would be loyal to a Lord for all their life, as long as they live, and they would be willing to give their life for that Lord. A loyal servant who serves his Lord with all that he has. Isn't this what Paul is trying to tell the Thessalonians? That to live a life that pleases God is a life in service of God, is a life dedicated to God. And such a life is a life of holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man but God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. The very Spirit of this holy God comes to you and to me. That thought is too grand for us to understand. But implicit in that is this idea of the temple of God. This is a reconstruction, a miniature of Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was the holy place, and inside of the holy place was the holiest of holies. And as we know, that was the place where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. That was the place where heaven and earth met. If you were from earth and you wanted to meet with God who is in heaven, you go to the temple. Because that is where God's presence would be. Heaven and earth would come together at that point on the planet. There was a specific place where you could go to see heaven and earth meet. The New Testament, the New Covenant tells us that we now are God's temple. That God gives us His Holy Spirit. Which means that this body now becomes the place where heaven and earth meets. That the very presence of the Holy God of heaven can be in this body. It is the most fantastic, the most awesome thing that God has entrusted us with. God who gives us His Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit cannot exist in this body if this body is not holy. Fire and ice. Fire and ice can have a long distance relationship. They can be pen pals. Or today's world, they can communicate through the internet. Virtual reality. But actually, physically being up close with each other is not going to work out. Fire can invite ice and say, come to my house and we'll hang out, but it's not going to last long. When we want to be in close, intimate relationship with God, who is a holy God, there is only one way that that can work. If we are holy. Fire needs to relate to fire, or ice needs to relate to ice, but they can't go together. An unholy person and a holy God cannot live together. But praise God, He has given His Holy Spirit to us. So that we can be changed. So that we can be holy. So that this can be the temple of God. So that His presence can dwell in us. So that we can relate to Him in an intimate way. Praise God for His Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, you say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord this morning. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. Let us pray. Father God, as we read these verses from the letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, we understand that he's urging them to live a life that is pleasing to you. A life that is in accordance with your will. A life of holiness. We understand the severity. We understand, Lord, how awesome it is to be in relationship with the Holy God, to have your Holy Spirit dwell in us. And I pray, Lord, that we would never be indifferent towards that or casual towards that. But I pray, Lord, that we would understand the seriousness. I pray, Lord, that you would accept our bodies as a living sacrifice. I pray that your Holy Spirit would never depart from us. And I pray that if we grieve your Spirit, that you would draw us to a place where we would fall on our knees and repent and ask forgiveness, so that you can cleanse us, so that we can be clean, so that your Spirit can be in us, so that we can be holy, so that we can be relating to you in an intimate and a close manner. I pray you would help us in our weakness. I pray you would strengthen us through your Spirit, who does give us the strength to live a holy life. May you be honored and glorified this morning, I pray, in us and through us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.